This is Radio 98 Talkback with Ann Hutchison.
Well, good morning and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Talkback. This morning, we're going to be talking about Thursday's election, and we're going to give you the opportunity to speak to two of Ontario's political leaders. 1 hour from now, following the news at 10, Conservative leader Michael Harris will be my guest on the live line from Toronto to talk to you. This hour, though, a man who is no stranger to Londoners, I'm sure, and no stranger to Talkback either. We're pleased to have in the studio the leader of the Ontario Freedom Party, Robert Metz. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Ann.
Nice to see you again.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
How many candidates does the Freedom Party have running this time around? You're getting bigger, aren't you?
Slowly but surely. We're running 10 candidates in this. We consider this sort of a watershed election since it was called in the middle of a mandate. And that compares to 9 in the last election and 3 in the London area in our first election in 1985, which was just a few months after we founded as a political party.
So you founded the party
in 1984.
Mm-hmm. And did you found the party yourself?
I'm one of the founding members.
All right.
There are several. Some of them are still with us today. Some are no longer with us, usually because they've either moved away from Ontario or live somewhere else.
In conversations that we have had over the phone, you have always been very critical of most politicians, be it federal or provincial or even local. Why would you want to be one?
Well, I don't want to be a politician. I never in my wildest dreams would ever have believed that I would be even involved with a political party, let alone the leader of one. I am doing this, Anne, as a blatant act of self-defense. I think the voter, the taxpayer out there, is a helpless pawn in a game that serves nothing but political interests. And quite frankly, Anne, politicians cannot solve our problems for us. There are solutions to our problems. There are ideal methods with which to treat them. But we cannot please all the people all the time. This is just an impossible task.
Well, you're not saying we can get along without politicians.
I would say yes, we could for the most part. We can't get along without government and without a proper system of laws that essentially should be there to prevent some people from imposing their choices and their responsibilities and, you know, things like that on other people. And I'm afraid that that's what the major political parties are offering us today. Each one of them caters to a special interest group. None of them stands there representing only individual rights. That is Freedom Party. That's why we're on the scene. We consider ourselves a necessity in a world of politics just gone crazy. We see it everywhere in the country.
So what does freedom mean?
Freedom means accepting responsibility for one's own choices and one's own actions and acknowledging and respecting the equal right of every individual in a society to have that same freedom. That's all it means, and that's what a government should be there to protect, is that right, each of our rights, to do what we want with our lives and our property, not to do what we want with someone else's life and someone else's property. There's a tremendous dividing line there.
Well, it sounds like utopia, and to me, it almost sounds like dreaming.
It doesn't spell utopia, and I'm by no means trying to say I'm going to envisage the perfect society. What I'm shooting for is an ideal legal system by which we can arbitrate our disputes, by which we can settle our differences. I acknowledge that these things exist and will continue to exist as long as there are human beings in the world. But by setting a political system into place that only aggravates and accentuates all of our differences, that's certainly not doing anyone any good. We must move away from the direction our three major parties are heading in right now.
I know we could spend an hour just talking about your vision of what the future could be like. Can you sort of, in a few minutes, give us a broad picture of the way you'd like to
well,
see things,
no,
just
I
so
couldn't.
People can understand?
I couldn't, and
no?
I'll tell you why, because that's, again, one of our points of difference. If I were to be able to answer that question, then by answering it, I would be telling you that I'm going to force everybody to be this way or that way or this way. That's not what individual choice is about. I can't answer that question for you. Only every individual in the exercise of his choice, what we will see in the future, is going to be determined collectively by all of us acting as individuals. So to ask me what I see as my ultimate image and what will happen sort of precludes that I'm going to be there regulating the whole thing, so it will happen a certain way. But I do know that in every society that is freer than the next, and you can take this relatively, it works on an absolute scale, you'll find that the freer the overall society, the better off all its individual citizens, from the rich to the poor. And the less free a society is, the worse off all its citizens are, from the rich to the poor.
Have you got an example of a society that is the model that you could work towards?
I would say, in many respects, we already live in the closest ideal to that society, North America, the United States, the Western world, as we call it, the world that allows more freedoms than other countries in the world do. But this by no means makes us perfect. We, in many ways, practice some of the false philosophies and the false ideals of the countries that we don't admire so much. So I think we have to start looking at ourselves and looking and seeing, are we just like the people we criticize, or are we really something different? And if we are, let's find out what the point of difference is and accentuate it.
All right. My guest is Robert Metz. He's leader of the Ontario Freedom Party, and he's here to talk to you. Our phone number is 643-9898. If you have a question for Mr. Metz and would like to know more about the Freedom Party, about where they stand on specific issues, I know he would be happy to tell you about that. 643-9898. Maybe you have a comment about what you've heard already, or about what you know about the Freedom Party. If so, give us a call, and you're welcome to express your opinions on that. 643-9898. Will you be voting for the Freedom Party? If you will, I'd like to know why, and if not, why not? We have John on the line. Let's take a break, and we'll go to him right after these.
You're listening to Radio 98's Talk Back with Ann Hutchison. The number to call is 643-9898.
Is anybody home? Is anybody here?
A few short years ago, David Peterson rode off to Queen's Park with a promise of accountable, open government.
Hello! Anybody in here?
Since then, his house has fallen to scandal and an unwillingness to listen to his constituents and 33 separate tax increases.
Anybody, please!
Is it any wonder David Peterson's nowhere to be found in London Center? It's time to return real representation to London Center. Vote Mark Handelman on September the 6th.
Paid for by the London Center PC Association.
16 minutes past 9 o'clock on Talk Back. My name's Ann Hutchison. Robert Metz, leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario, is my guest. He's here to talk to you. 643-9898 is the number. Hello, John. You're on the air.
Morning. I'd like to ask Robert if you watched the debate. And one comment that was made by Mr. Harris, which I found most intriguing, it sort of woke me up, was when he made the claim to being an honest politician, appreciating that one of the greatest difficulties with honest men or honest politicians is keeping them honest. But as far as patronage that goes on, and particularly this recent deal with that 10 acres of land out at the northwest end of the city there, surely, given that that belonged to the public purse, was there not an obligation for that to be put on the public auction block? Because when one works it out, it means that land went for approximately $29,000 an acre. And yet I defy anybody to be able to get land in this city for $29,000 an acre. And if one divides it up into the lots, which is approximately 6 to 7 lots, that's over 400% profit before there's even a sod being turned. And I was wondering, what steps would you take if you had governmental power in the form of legislation to put an end to this kind of blatant larceny of the public purse?
Well, I guess the fundamental issue here was what you were saying earlier, John, was what can we do to keep our politicians honest? And I have to say to you, fundamentally, the only thing we can do in this respect of any meaningful way is don't give them the kind of power that they have now. Politicians have far too much power, particularly over private property rights and things that that just aren't theirs to have power over. And I don't see an end to this kind of patronage situation or land deals and flipping of land deals as long as governments have control over issues like that. They just simply shouldn't. Everything of that nature should be privatized. And let's not get fooled into the false belief that there's such a thing as publicly owned property. Property is either privately owned by individuals or it is owned by the government. And if we keep that distinction in mind, I think we'll find that a lot of the issues we see regarding patronage and land deals starts to become quite a bit clearer.
Well, as far as publicly owned land is concerned, how does that thought appeal to you with regards to 99-year leases on public lands? In other words, that the land is leased to the private sector as opposed to the public always having to lease from the private sector.
Well, again, it depends who originally owns the land, who has the power to lease
public
it.
Public land, eh?
Right. Well, then the government would be leasing certain lands to private enterprise or industry. It does that now.
John, I want to go back, rather than getting too much into detail on these land deals, I want to go back to Mr. Harris's comment that you pointed out. He not only said that he was an honest politician, I think he said he was the only honest politician.
Well, that was even more remarkable.
Yeah. I mean... Are we just getting cynical, Robert? I mean, are these people getting in there and trying to be dishonest? Are they dishonest? I mean, is this what you feel? Do you think they're dishonest?
No.
Or does politics just make you have to be less than totally upfront?
I think that a lot of the politicians of the other parties, I've never met anybody really that I would consider, quote, dishonest. I think they honestly believe that they can do a lot of the promises that they promise. I just don't think they realize that what they're promising is impossible.
Excuse me, sir, but how can you make this passive distinction? Here we had a situation where even the legislation decrees that public-owned land, if it's in the public domain, no matter by what manner it came into the public domain, the legislation states that it has to be either, used to be under the Municipal Act, either sold to another public body for the sum of $1, providing it was within the Municipal Public Lands Act.
Yeah, John, I want to point out here that as far as I know, the rules were followed in the way that land deal was handled, and I think that we better leave it there. I don't want to get us into any legal trouble here, John, where we may be just crossing
the
line. But let's talk in generalities, okay?
Well, no, because general things are generally wrong. That's the tragedy of the whole thing, and we talk in generalities, and the net result is that 90% of the time by talking that way, we end up being wrong.
But when we talk specifics, unless you and I know all the facts and have all the information in front of us, then we're apt to give people wrong impressions.
And is there not a responsibility of the media, in the interest of its reader or its listener, to inquire into the matter to see exactly what transpired as to whether whoever made the decision for that land? I'm not being personal in this matter, because the same situation arose when the Conservative government was in, with regards to the hospital pension plan, and A.E. LePage, another real estate man, being able to borrow $2.8 million at 8%, when at that particular time in history, which was 1981, the preferred interest rate was 19.75%.
All right, John, I got to tell you here, we're going way off the deep end with this, and I want to go back and talk to Robert about this honesty thing, so I'm going to say thank you very much for your call.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Let's go back to this honesty thing. So you think then that people who end up in politics, as you're trying to do, go in with big dreams and think they can fulfill all this and just don't know what they're getting into until they're in there?
Well, they've seen what appears to work for the past several years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're on a credit card system right now. And as anyone who just got a credit card knows, that when you first get that credit card and you're pumping it up to the limit, it feels pretty good. You get the benefits of products that you couldn't otherwise afford instantly, but you don't get the payments at first. And it sounds like it works. What a great idea. And then comes payment day, when the credit card reaches its limit, when there's no one out there to lend you more money, and suddenly you have huge payments and very few benefits because you already received the benefit in the past. And this is sort of the system that everyone's been selling to us for the last 20 or 30 years. And it is the socialist ideal. That is the way socialism works. It works on robbing Peter to pay Paul and then robbing the generations of the future to pay for the benefits of today. And this is a tragedy. It's a terrible thing that most voters are so disgusted with the major two parties that they're now running into the arms of the NDP, which of course has been the party in power really in this province for a long, long time. I mean, the Conservatives and Liberals are just falling over themselves to be the first to institute an NDP policy. They all share the same basic ideals, the same basic philosophies, and the only difference in each any of the three parties is a matter of degree, how fast each of them is falling off the cliff.
All right, we'll find out more about what the Freedom Party would do. We've got to take a break.
Okay.
We'll be back in just... Lines open, by the way, 643-9898. If you want to question Mr. Metz on any of his policies, his philosophies on government, give us a call, 643-9898. It's past 9 o'clock on Talkback. Robert Metz, leader of the Ontario Freedom Party, is my guest. Conservative leader Mike Harris will be on the live line with us after the news at 10 o'clock. Let's talk about taxation. I really think it's important, Bob, that we get into specifics about
sure.
About what your party would like to see and do. And let's start with taxation. The NDP is calling for fair taxation.
Yes.
is that up your alley?
Well, fair taxation is a myth. There is no such thing as fair taxation because taxation is not a direct payment for a service received. That's what would be fair. You receive a service, you pay for it. Taxation is something else. What we call taxation today is taking money from Peter to give the money to Paul, because for some reason or other we've justified that Paul needs it more than Peter. And that really is what our taxes are all about today. And when the NDP talks about fair taxes, you know, they really mean a shift in taxes. And I think they're pulling a tremendous wool over the very people's eyes who they're appealing to, particularly the lower working class and the poor, supposedly, that they're helping out with this. I mean, if the NDP wants to transfer taxes to corporations, that doesn't mean the corporation's going to pay the tax. Corporations do not pay taxes. Their customers and their employees end up paying the tax. When a corporation is taxed higher, that corporation makes your food, makes your clothes, makes the products and the materials that your homes are built out of. When that corporation gets taxed, you get taxed. And you don't miss anybody on the economic scale. Rich and poor alike get taxed. So what the NDP is really advocating is a hidden tax. A tax that the poor cannot see, and yet they will be the major brunt of it, because like it or not, the poor is that class in society that benefits most from large corporations. It is the class most likely to be employed by a corporation. It is the people most likely to buy the products of that corporation. I mean, who makes the cheapest VCRs and TVs and home luxury items? These are the large corporations.
All right, so the alternative is...
lower taxes across the board. We have to cut the tax tap off. You know, majority rule governments like the ones we have today will always spend more than they take in. We have to cut that off. To that end, what we advocate is that each individual taxpayer should be allowed to direct his individual education taxes to the school of his choice, his individual health care taxes to the hospital or doctor of his choice, his individual welfare taxes to the private welfare agency of his choice. That way he's got control of the spending, he's got control of the taxes, and he'll see results for what he's spending. I don't think any other option offered by any other political party even remotely begins to address any of the issues that even they say that they will address. I mean, it's just terrible what's been going on in this country with taxes. And then we hear the opposite complaint. Well, big business and everyone's leaving the country because of free trade. They're not leaving the country because of free trade. They're leaving the country because of the terrible class of politicians we have up here. They're taxing everyone to death, and can you blame anyone for wanting to pay lower taxes? Is that wrong? Is it wrong to want to pay lower taxes? And why should we be accusing people who want to escape a system like that? These are the productive people that leave the country, by the way. The people who are receiving the benefits on the social end tend to be the ones who stay behind. And soon we're going to have more people collecting off the system than pay into it.
So what you see is kind of a pay-as-you-go system. If you use
Absolutely.
The roads, you pay to use the roads.
Absolutely.
If you use a hospital, you pay to use a hospital. What about our social welfare system? What about the funding of...
well, let's look at our social welfare
system.
Let's look at the
instance.
Whole... the whole false premise on which it's based, and what a cruel joke this is on the supposed people we're helping. Look what we do in this country. We practice something that none of the three big parties has said that they're opposed to. In fact, they all adhere to it. It's called universality. And let me give you an example. Let's talk about health care as one of our social programs. Back in 1968, 82% of the people in Ontario had private health care insurance that fully met their needs. Health care insurance that made sure that the government wasn't being taxed, taxing us to death, the government wasn't going bankrupt, the health care system was gradually improving, and nothing was technically wrong, but there were 18% of the population that didn't have adequate health care insurance. Now, some of them may not have carried it because they didn't need it or had enough money of their own. So if we reduce that figure even more, then we could say that somewhere in there is that group of people who are really in need and who need assistance and who do need some form of outside help. So what do our politicians offer us? Not a welfare system that offers that single group any help, but they sell us a scheme like OHIP, where 100% of the people get covered 100% of the time at a supposedly free cost, free health care, they call it. I really don't know why they're not dragged in the court under fraud charges for even daring to say such a thing.
But if you're saying we could all carry insurance, private health care insurance, what's the difference between a private system of health care insurance or the government running something that's so important as health care?
OHIP is not an insurance plan, never was. It was a health tax, just like our pension systems. This money is not taken from people and invested in a private account under that person's name. That's what we're advocating. What the government currently does with that money is take all that money and dump it in a big general account. It's not taken care of. That's totally irresponsible to begin with. And it counts on future funding of our health care system, our education system, everything that we run by government, on future taxpayer increases. And I was astounded when I used to investigate this and found that even when these programs were in their early stages of conceptualization, that politicians back then were actually openly saying this. They were saying, this is going to be the cheapest system. We're not going to have to charge regular premiums. We're not going to have to invest the money. We're just going to draw upon future taxpayers and workers of this country. And that's how they built the system, and now it's collapsing. It's obvious. Any first-year economics student would know that what we're doing in this country can't work. We have to get down to a privatized system. I look at it this way. I represent the Freedom of Choice Party, but this is an area we don't have a choice in. We have got to stop taxing people the way we are, and we've got to let the taxpayer have control over his tax dollars. When any politician tells you he's going to do anything for you, what that means, he's going to do something to somebody else. Government has no money of its own. When it promises you something, it's promising to take something out of the pocket of your neighbor. And I just can't keep looking at my neighbor, in the face and saying, well, I vote NDP, Conservative, or Liberal. I'm voting for policies that will rob you so that I think I can get a benefit. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's the way a government should run.
Our phone number is 643-9898. Do you agree with Robert Metz of the Freedom Party? Do you think that his ideas on what the future could be like and the way taxation should be work, is it feasible? Or is he dreaming? Your comments, your questions about the system. 643-9898. We'll be back. Hello, Joyce.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, Joyce. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. I agree with you totally on this health insurance thing. We had, at the time it started with the government, we had a family of six, and we were insuring our family for health, practically full coverage, for less than $30 a month. And I don't think our government insurance premiums were ever that low.
No, it's certainly been quite a while. I remember just before the OHIP premiums were phased out for family coverage, it was over $60 per month. That's quite an expensive insurance. And considering that that only covered less than 15% of the total amount of money spent on the government-funded system, the rest of it came out of tax dollars.
That's right. And we had as good a coverage as the government has ever had at the time that we were in the insured by the private sector.
Sure. And I know a number of people today who have, for example, private company health care plans that provide dental care, that provide all kinds of coverage not provided by OHIP, and they get terrific coverage. You know, something should be mentioned in regard to this. You know, when OHIP was brought in, Ontario became one of the only provinces in the Western world to make it illegal for private insurance companies and private services to compete.
That's right, you didn't have a choice.
That's exactly true.
That's not right.
Well, if we look to the states, though, as an example of what you're talking about, we see people who, even with private health care systems, who are spending their total life savings to make up the difference. There, with a private system, if someone gets a serious or a chronic illness, say cancer, they get treated for a while, they get better, and then they can't get insurance again. And if they have a recurrence of their disease, they end up again spending $100,000, $200,000.
Well, even at worst, you know, you're confusing two issues again. You're confusing health care with an issue of a separate issue, which is poverty. And again, if we go by the philosophy of helping those who need it, when that person's in that position, that's when you help him. That does not address the issue of having a universal health care system.
So when someone has spent their total life savings to pay for to get well again,
they may not have to spend their total life savings. You know, it's not like there's only one or two ways to fund something that you need. There are multiple ways. You can have charities, you can have fundraisers, people who will want to give either through their tax dollars or some other way to direct to special hospitals for special care. These are the options that would be offered by a party like Freedom Party. If you think that a particular disease or a particular research needs a lot of work, you can direct your tax dollars to that institution that's doing that kind of research.
Does that sound like it would work to you, Joyce?
Help the people that need the help.
That's right. Right.
Let the other people take care of themselves. Like,
exactly.
You were pretty efficient in that regard, I believe, at that time. And then the government took over, and then everything just went all to pot.
All righty.
Exactly what's happening.
Thanks, Joyce.
Thank you.
Glad you called. Bye-bye. 643-9898 is our phone number on TalkBack. 18 minutes before 10 o'clock. Don't forget, Mike Wilmont's in after 11 this morning with more hits from the 60s to the 90s, as well as his mystery song contest. And don't forget, after 10 this morning, Conservative leader Mike Harris will join us on the live line from Toronto. We have Garnet on the line now, though, to talk to Robert Metz. Hello, Garnet.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Garnet.
I lived, have friends in the United States and relatives, and some of the people have spent their houses and every cent they ever had on health care. Now, I think we should have a government plan, because I was with a union, and we had health care. And when they didn't have, wasn't with the union, the major portion of them didn't have anything health plan because it was so costly. I imagine that somebody's referring to what it cost is referring to a plan with a company that could be bought cheaper, but didn't cover everything.
Okay, so you don't agree with Mr. Metz on this point.
No, I don't at
well,
all.
Well, listen, Garnet, let's look
everybody
at...
Everybody is our... We're supposed to be our brother's keeper. And ordinary poor people don't have the money, and a lot of the richer people don't have the money to buy from an insurance company.
Well, maybe you can answer a question for me then, Garnet. You just mentioned that some of your friends have spent every cent on health care. What do you see as a solution once the government has spent every tax cent on health care and things still aren't getting better and that there's no money left in the government pot to spread around anymore? What do you see as a solution to that problem?
We have our brother's keeper.
Okay,
well,
Garnet.
I mean, that's a noble wish and a noble ideal, but then again, the means is not consistent with the ends. We can't go robbing ourselves. I mean, helping each other is different than robbing Peter to pay Paul. That's not voluntary charity. That's not what help and voluntarism is all about. Generally, I would say Garnet's question was pretty much the same as the last one. When a person's in help, that's when they, or needs help, that's when they should be have that help directed towards them. You don't fund a complete system that bankrupts the very resources that you need to help these people. It's like shooting yourself in the foot.
All right, 643-9898 is the number. Thanks for your call, Garnet. Okay. Bye-bye. We've got to take a break. We'll be back.
Radio 98's Talkback is your program. To air your comments or questions, dial 643-9898.
The following is paid for by the Ontario Public Service Employees Union.
Homelessness is an issue we've got to face. But the Liberals are putting more people out on the streets by closing Ontario psychiatric hospitals and handicap residences in favor of private group homes that can't afford to provide services. With less government support, a lot of people suffer. Mr. Peterson, are you going to help? You've really made me wonder just who's in charge around here.
Paid for by the Ontario Public Service Employees Union.
Hey, it's, 13 minutes before 10 o'clock. We've got Michael on the line to talk to Robert Metz of the Freedom Party of Ontario. Hello, Michael.
Good morning,
morning
how are
Michael.
You still there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, good stuff. I want to, this in essence is almost a follow-up to the previous caller.
Mm-hmm.
The American healthcare system, as it stands right now, the best health insurance that is available in the States through Blue Cross and or any of its quote-unquote competitors, only covers 80% of whatever the final bill of any particular hospitalization and or medication stay is. In the case of my parents and literally hundreds of thousands of people like them, the result is that when you finish, say, a 30, 60, 90 day in a hospital, you're left with bills that amount to literally hundreds of thousands of dollars. So this is not an isolated case. These things are being documented left, right, and center by all sorts of organizations in the States. The American Medical Association, that bastion of radical left-wing thinking, has come out in favor of a nationalized health care program. The reason for that is because of this incredible expense. The incredible expense is not, at this point in time in the States, the fault of government. The incredible expense is because of the fact that the hospital simply cost a lot of money to run. Now, how does Mr. Metz address this situation?
Well, one way I don't address it is by promising you that I can offer you 100% coverage, 100% medical care. I don't know how to put this more bluntly to you, Michael, but it's not possible. It's an impossibility. We can wish it. We could bankrupt our country trying to offer it. It just cannot be done. We have to look for other ways.
So you think our medical system, the way it is going to bankrupt our country?
Eventually. Yes.
What
because
do you do
we're
then?
Spending far more money than the system is taking in.
What do you do then?
Well, again,
about in the case of a society, of a civilization that takes its elderly people, and we are talking essentially about people over the age of 60 here, and says to them, fine, you've worked, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, perhaps you've built up your own business, perhaps you've raised a family, contributed for the amount of time, and now we've got you sick here, you're going to spend so on and so forth on your insurance.
Well,
your insurance is out, your
here
money
again.
Is gone, so bye-bye, go die.
Well, here again, maybe you missed the opening part of the program where, you see, everybody's asking me about the American healthcare system. That's not what I've recommended. I've recommended that Canadian taxpayers should be allowed to direct their healthcare taxes to the institution of their choice.
Well,
this does not occur in the United States. It doesn't occur in very many places that I know of. And in addition to directing your healthcare taxes, you can direct your insurance dollars. You can direct private contribution dollars. You can have...
To where
the help is needed.
How are you going to predict where you're going to need help?
Because it's obvious when someone needs help. Isn't it obvious that they're bankrupt or they need the finances?
Yes, but if the system is not in place, if a pre-funded system isn't in place to assist those people at the point in time when they need the help, what the heck good is help? The help can't be gotten to them.
Well, I'll tell you, with a post-funded system, you guarantee disaster.
No, the point
is... You know,
is,
I'd love to be here like the rest of the politicians and offer you something for nothing. It doesn't work that
way. No, I'm not asking...
Last word, Michael.
I'm not asking for something for nothing. I have no problem with paying taxes. I want to see the taxes that I'm paid spent in an accountable and responsible manner.
Michael, thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
That actually was an excellent conclusion, and the only way he'll ever see his taxes spent accountably and responsibly is if he gets the right to direct his taxes where he thinks they should go. Otherwise, someone else will always be directing his taxes.
All righty. Folks love to talk about health insurance. We've got some more callers on the line. We'll be with them in just a minute.
Why has David Peterson called this wasteful election? What has Peterson got up his sleeve? Unlike David Peterson, I'm on your side. I'll work on your behalf in London Center for fair taxation and driver-owned auto insurance. I'm Marion Boyd. I'm asking you to send David Peterson a message he can't ignore. On September 6th, vote Marion Boyd and the New Democrats.
This is a paid political message from the Ontario New Democratic Party.
This is Radio 98's Talkback with Ann Hutchison. Call 643-9898 with your question or comment.
Florence, you're on the air with Freedom Party leader Robert Metz.
Good morning. I'm in favor of OHIP. I think it's the best thing that ever happened here. I, at one point in my life, was not able, before it came in,
mm-hmm.
I'm asthmatic. I couldn't afford to get the health care I needed because it was a choice between food and rent or the doctor. And when you have children, food and rent comes first. And this is one of the reasons my breathing is as bad as it is now, because I couldn't afford to get it when I needed it. But I also feel that the health care has to be changed, because if every doctor has his own private office and then after hours you can't get to them, you have to go to a walk-in center as you do in London, the walk-in center charges more than a doctor's office does. So you have to get the doctors to get together, open up a community office, which gives you after-hour treatment at a doctor's fee rather than the walk-in center fee.
All right. Florence, I thank you for your comments this morning.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Yep.
We've dealt with health care for the last half hour, and we're just about out of time here. Just
sure.
A couple minutes left,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted Florence to get her comments in. But let's talk about what issues should people be looking at in the next couple of days, do you feel?
Well, certainly taxes are the number one issue.
Mm-hmm.
We have to see a lowering of taxes and a privatization and inject some responsibility into the social services that we have in this country today. There are many other issues involved that we always keep hearing about. We keep hearing about the housing shortage, which, like it or not, is aggravated by rent controls. Things like rent controls should be phased out as soon as possible. We know the Peterson government intends to challenge the recent court ruling on Sunday shopping legislation in Ontario. That is strictly legislation that violates people's private property rights and should not be tolerated in a free society. We have still the issue of free trade to contend with. Freedom Party is an unabashed defender of free trade. We don't think any politician has the right to intervene between any two people anywhere on the face of this globe if they want to do a trade deal or trade their goods and services or whatever, because that's what anti-free trade sentiment is all about. We believe in freedom of choice in business and labor. We think that labor associations, unions, whatever, should be voluntary associations, not forced associations. The same principle holds true to business groups. We also think that the government shouldn't be subsidizing large businesses and corporations for the same reasons that they shouldn't be subsidizing anyone else. We think the taxpayers should be able to direct their specific taxes to whatever institution or school or hospital or welfare agency of their choosing. The government should not be running these things. And of course, a very fundamental freedom in a free society is freedom of speech. And we think freedom of speech is a fundamental. We say no to censorship.
All righty. Have you got a shot in any ridings, Robert, realistically?
Well, we're very buoyed by the recent poll results. We showed up in our first poll on the front page of the Free Press on the weekend, and I consider that relatively significant, considering in the past elections where we've run, we've always done 1.5 to 2% of the vote, and at that time we weren't showing up on any polls. So now we're showing
You're
up
showing
at one,
up.
One
we're
and a half
progress.
On the poll, so we're making some sort of progress. Hopefully we'll double our vote from what we did last time.
Robert Metz is leader of the Ontario Freedom Party. Thanks for being with me this hour.
And thanks for inviting me.
And good luck to you.